Good morning.
Morning.
There was nothing in Macca's flat. A mattress on the floor, a couch, a table. It seemed to me that morning that things could be simple.
You're lovely.
So are you. Oh, who's this?
It was a text from Rotende. Call me.
Will you have dinner with me tonight?
I'd love to.
Here again.
Best not get spotted sharing a pizza with a witness.
Hey, don't get up.
One more minute.
Phone was flashing away. Phone Terry. Phone the governor. Phone Rotende. Rotende, what's up?
He needs to get a copy of the Manchester Evening News. There's a thing about JJ's cousin. Not good.
What's it say?
That he should never have been under suspicion, that he only kicked a guy because he was having his phone robbed, but he ended up being questioned about his cousin's murder. There's stuff about you too.
What? According to the paper, JJ's cousin had been subjected to racist abuse by a bigoted white police officer in a team led by a female high flyer, DCI Susan Craven. Terry Bird's name wasn't mentioned. The article ended with a quote from an unnamed insider. She's the latest in a string of shop dummy officers, appointed to attract the public. They tick the boxes, but they're often inept, and no one really knows how they got there or where they came from. It's time to ask those questions.
Where the hell have you been?
Sorry.
Not good enough. Terry's had to face it.
How? He wasn't named, let alone blamed. This is his fault.
You need to go out front and get those hacks off the steps.
No. The kids are already in front of you. I'll do that, then I'll talk to the press. Might give me more to say than just apologise for something I didn't instigate and I didn't agree with in the first place. Terry, I told you from the off JJ's cousin would cause a riot. You deliberately undermined me.
What do you call taking a job off someone?
Eh?
You didn't want to touch the fencing case till you heard it would go to me.
Rubbish.
You're threatened by me.
You assume not only is the victim a criminal, but his cousin too. How could that threaten me? It's just prejudice.
I'll tell you what's prejudice. Thinking if you're really pally with enough black people, everything will be okay.
You do exactly what we're accused of. You underprotect a black victim, you over-police a black suspect.
Jargon.
It's not jargon. This is a new set of tapes which I'm opening and putting in. Because this is a recorded interview, try not to give head shakes or nod answers, OK? The interviews were a disaster. The kids were like clams and I was useless, distracted and nervy. Terry Bird hunched beside me, a heap of fury. By midday, all four kids, their solicitors and chaperones had gone.
Do you want my observation?
I'm amazed you've got one. You contributed nothing.
Well, your idea, these kids, you're obsessed.
That's enough, enough. Terry, me and you cannot waste another second pissing each other off. If we don't make headway with this thing, the press will take us to the cleaners. Both of us. I will support you, but only if you work with me. What's this observation?
You'll never get those kids to dub each other in.
So, no miracle confession to get the press off our backs.
Afternoon, gentlemen of the press. Sorry about the rain. I want to say a couple of words about the investigation into the murder of JJ Green. We're putting a lot of energy into this investigation because we are determined to bring JJ's killer or killers to justice. There is no place in this city for acts of racism. Sometimes, in the interests of thorough policing, a bold or unpopular call has to be made. DCI Sue Craven did not flinch from approving the questioning of JJ's cousin because it was one among many valid strands of inquiry.
DCI Craven, isn't treating JJ's cousin as a suspect when there's next to no evidence against him an act of racism?
No, my colleague, DI Terry Bird, who conducted the interview, had only one agenda, to make progress with this case, and he has my unqualified support. We quickly moved on from that line of inquiry and we're currently pursuing another, but strong one, which we hope will bear fruit.
Do you think you have enough experience for the job?
Yes.
DCI Craven is as qualified as they come. I have a lot of faith in her. She's very committed, she's got a lot on her plate, and she's doing what we all do, which is learn on the job.
DI Bird, what's it like having such a young female boss?
I never think about it. It's immaterial. We just get on with the job.
Which is what we should all be doing. OK, thanks, fellas. Sorry you had to wait.
So, the governor was squeaky clean, I was a well-intentioned amateur, and Terry Bird was a liberal feminist. It went off pretty well.
Stacey's laid it out for us. Shall we?
Yeah, sure.
Stacey, the exhibits officer, had laid it all out on a long table, still bagged up, all clearly labelled. PC Fenton shoes, PC Fenton's trousers, PC Mackenzie's socks.
Thanks, Stacey.
So we gloved up and started to sift through. We spoke quietly, like people do near dead things. I was grateful for the peace, but I wasn't prepared for how I'd feel.
Fenton's jacket still at the lab?
Yeah, and the knife.
They pinched his watch, didn't they?
Well, there was certainly no watch when they got to the body,
because he'd left it beside my bed. I opened a bag and took out Tommy's shirt. Dry blood covered it. I found the slit where the knife had gone in 10 years ago. It made me ache.
God.
What?
This is just so weird.
Watende was going through a box marked PC Fenton's pocket contents. A bag with a crumpled tissue in it. A bag with a chewing gum wrapper in it. Another with a fiver.
That's off a bra.
Sorry?
The bag he picked up contained a tiny blue satin rose.
That's definitely off a bra.
Well, he could be off anything.
You don't forget the most expensive underwear you've ever bought. I remembered anticipating the pleasure it would give Tommy and Macca when they undressed me. And the heavy thrill when it did.
Fenton was playing away. You've got a bit of a bra in your wallet. It's a trophy. It's not going to be off your wife's bra, is it?
I wouldn't know.
Maybe Fenton was a Lothario. Maybe he and Mackenzie were naughty boys all round.
Maybe.
Hey, what if Tommy Fenton's murder had nothing to do with police or race? What if it was a crime of passion?
I couldn't stop the parade of pictures in my head. I thought I might black out.
Are you a bit slow today?
I better take this. Excuse me.
Caller ID said Macca. I cut off the call. I squatted down with my head between my knees to fight the faint. I didn't see Terry Bird.
What's up with you?
I think I must have eaten something. I'll be all right in a minute.
I've had a thought about the gang. I reckon if you can get to any of them, it's Jade.
Yeah?
Yeah. They all tie in with the oldest lad, Frankie. But I reckon she ties in the weakest. She's not his best friend. She's not his little sister. She's just his girlfriend.
Girlfriends can be loyal.
Find me one.
I made it to the toilet. I threw up. Macca left 3 messages that afternoon. I didn't reply. I kept thinking about that tiny satin rose.
Come in.
Watende bounded in with more arms and legs than usual.
I've just been to the lab. Guess what these are? They're missing reports. They dug up the originals. This is PC Fenton's blood test. Look, there were traces of ecstasy in his blood.
My God.
They covered it up. I was thinking, if Fenton and Mackenzie were both druggies, which Mackenzie lied to us about, what if there was tension about it?
How do you mean?
What if they weren't getting on? What if they were in too deep with something? Drugs, women, something that drove a wedge. What if Mackenzie had a motive?
What?
Well, why not? We've never considered the one person we know was there. Maybe it wasn't planned. Maybe Macca took advantage of a botched attack and killed Tommy because...
You're obsessed with Macca. Give him a break. You haven't a shred of evidence to support any of this.
Yeah, but I'm just...
Listen to me. You're very bright, and it's great you're so into the work, but the conclusion jumping's got to stop.
But we always... You and me...
And this blood test is confidential, okay? You have to stop.
Watende gave me a look I'd never seen before. Hostile. Later, I realised what the look really was. Suspicion.
Why did you ignore my messages?
I saw Tommy's things today.
Ah.
It was a bit from one of my bras. I didn't even know he'd taken it. What does that mean?
You ask him, was he in love with you?
Why do you think I mean that?
Because you were in love with him. It was obvious.
Oh, sicker than that. I actually thought we were going to end up together.
Did you really? I was mad about you.
Were you?
First time I saw you. I knew I didn't stand a chance on my own. Tommy was the catch.
You make it sound like a trap.
Push the looker to the front and sneak in behind him. Tried and tested.
You did it with other girls?
Before you. One-offs. It was different with you. It wasn't sport. I was at your feet.
And Tommy?
He phoned you, didn't he, the night he died?
He'd left his watch behind.
He told me.
Told you what?
He said he'd phoned you to say he'd pick it up later and that you got heavy.
I told him I loved him.
Yeah. Well, freaked him out. He said, I want to call it off with Susie. He felt bad about his wife. I said no. We had a massive argument. It enraged me. He had the power to pull the plug on it the second he was out of his depth. I wasn't. I was in heaven. I knew I'd lose you if he bailed out. I wanted to kill him.
I realised I didn't know who Macca was or what he was capable of. I wanted to leave, but I couldn't risk it. I couldn't afford to make an enemy of Macca. He had all my secrets. I lay awake beside him. I could just make out his empty glass beside the bed. I half-dressed in the dark and then, carefully, wrapping it in a tissue, I stole the glass and put it in my bag. I didn't realise it was a man at first. He stood so still. Watende's face knew everything.
Aaron Trent is dead. Get in the car. Always switch your phone off when you're shagging a witness. Did they teach you that at university? I went looking for you at work. And then your flat. And then I had this horrible idea you could be at Mackenzie's.
Look, don't assume.
I don't need to assume. Look at you.
Watende, please, listen.
I drove here thinking, this is mad. And then I saw your car and I thought, this is mad. Cover yourself up. You look like a slapper.
Don't speak to me like that.
I don't intend to speak to you at all.
Aaron Trent had hanged himself in his front room. Roland Palmer, a prisoner, had told us Aaron killed Tommy Fenton. When we tracked Aaron down, we'd found a man you couldn't imagine taking on a wasp, let alone two coppers. The next time we met him, he was serene as a Buddha. And now, he was dead. None of it made sense. Watende did speak to me, but only once.
I'm going to report you. First thing.